As a scripture lesson, I have chosen to read from the book of Daniel, the 9th chapter. The book of Daniel, the 9th chapter. This is Daniel 9, beginning at the first verse. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces as at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel, that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For unto the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord God watched upon the evil, and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, hast gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear, and hear. Open thine eyes, and behold our desolations in the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not, for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. That's Daniel 9, 1 through 19. I reminded myself of the layout of the book of Daniel, and I had the question in my mind as to what language this was in, but I reminded you in the beginning, chapter 2, 4 through chapter 7, 28 is written in Aramaic or Chaldee, while the latter portion from the 8th chapter of Daniel on is written in Hebrew. The first portion to remind us that this is in a Gentile language because it's concerned with the times of the Gentiles. The latter part written in Hebrew because it concerns the time of the end and the events that would lead up to the time when God will restore the kingdom to Israel, This is in Bullinger's Companion Bible. So the thing that came to me when I came to this ninth chapter and Daniel's intercessory prayer, the word why came up. And there are probably several whys. One of them is, well, why are we studying Daniel? Why is the image of Nebuchadnezzar so important? Why were the Jews dispersed and their country overrun in the first place? And so on. There are a lot of whys that come up from this ninth chapter. Of course, we are studying the message of Daniel because it is one of the keys of a prophecy of the end time, our time. Jesus quoted Daniel in Matthew, the 24th chapter, when he talked about Daniel the prophet. And the book of Revelation, the apocalypse, uses all of the symbols, the time measures, and all that are in Daniel and places them at the time of the end. In fact, really the time in Revelation is the last half of Daniel's 70th week that we will consider in the future. So we study the image of Nebuchadnezzar because it reveals the Gentile times all the way from 606 B.C. till the kingdom of God is established on this earth under Jesus Christ. And it is a sort of a measuring stick for all the prophecies of the Bible pertaining to the time of the end. That is, we study the book of Daniel to answer the question, why was Israel dispersed in the first place? And why is Daniel confessing? Why is he interceding for these people? And to me, the intercessory prayer of Daniel is, as far as a prayer, we have very few prayers in the Bible recorded, but this one, to me, is very vivid and very powerful when he just begs God to hear. He said, we're sinful people. We're bad people. Our fathers are bad. Our kings are bad. Our princes are bad. And this is why we're cursed. But God, I want you to hear me. I want you to forgive. And as I said, it's a very powerful prayer in which he is confessing and pleading for God's help in his nation of Israel. Getting into the first verse, we find out that this actually takes place in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans in the first year of his reign. So that's one of the things that Daniel does in several places, is to, the eighth chapter is the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar. This particular vision came, but this one came to him in the first year of Darius. And this is interesting because we wonder, you know, sometimes what did these contemporaries have in a way of Scripture? Well, they had the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was the head of Daniel. And so he said, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, is the second verse, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So when you take your cross references and you go to Jeremiah, and there at the 25th chapter in the 11th and 12th verses, he said, this whole land shall be a desolation and astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. It shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity in the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make it perpetual desolations. So here he's reproving the Jews. He's telling them what's going to happen. In fact, it's very interesting that in the Scriptures, as a prophet, Jeremiah was sent to tell the people how long the captivity would last. The false prophets were saying, this is just a temporary thing. Don't worry, you'll soon be back in town. But Jeremiah was telling him no. And so in the 29th, this is one of my favorite texts having to do with what he was telling them, which I think refers to us. He said, while you're carried into Babylon, build houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, eat the fruit of them, take wives, beget sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused thee to be carried away captive, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof ye shall have peace. Isn't that wonderful? That's talking about us today. We're living in Babylon. We are in captivity in a way. But he said, go ahead and build houses and plant vineyards and plant orchards and gardens. Marry and have children and give your children in marriage. Above all, seek the peace of the place that you're living, because if there's peace there, you will yourself have peace. But good many of them did not want to hear this. And their false prophets came to them saying, this is just a temporary glitch. But here we have Daniel in the first year of Darius under the Medo-Persian Empire saying, I looked in Jeremiah and I counted the years, and the 70 years are being accomplished on the desolations of Jerusalem. So it was a very important time. He understood by books, by the writings of Jeremiah the prophet, that this would be accomplished in 70 years. And so here we, as we mentioned to you, the letter to the exiles about how they should live. So in other words, what I get out of this is, as I've said before, I am not a prophet. None of you here are prophets. We have prophecy. What use can we make of it? Is that we need to study to know what is here and what it says. We don't understand it. But the way I see in this is like Daniel, and toward the end of his letter or his book, he said that this would be shut up and sealed until the time of the end. And the people in the end would understand it. It's just like last week when I was talking to you about the beasts of Daniel 7. I in reading this now, I can see militant Islam in all of that chapter. In other words, before I couldn't see Rome, couldn't see Stalin or Hitler or anything like that. But when you go on here about changing times and laws, and all the things that they do and would cause to be done under the reign of this little horn, last king of first countenance, beast, whatever you want to call it by scripture, I can see militant Islam in that. Couldn't see it before, but I can see it now. And maybe I'm guessing wrong, but we have that right. We have that privilege. In fact, that's all we can do, is to take what we know it says, and try to, as we look about us day by day, try to see things that match what it says. So we have to study the sacred writings to know what is there and to know what's going on. The main thing, of course, of this particular section is the prayer, the supplication, the fasting, sackcloth and ashes, confession that Daniel was making to God for his people. This is something, because he knew the scriptures too here about what the Bible said. We are cursed, he said, and why? Because we have not listened. We've talked a good many times about the last few chapters of the book of Deuteronomy 28 through the end. 28th is blessing and cursing. If you keep my covenant and my commandments, you'll be blessed everywhere you go, in the city, in the field, your crops, your herds, Everything you do will be blessed. If you do not listen to me, you will be cursed in all the places that you would otherwise be blessed. And the 26th of Leviticus is the same. In fact, in the 40th verse, he said, if you will confess and repent, you will be returned to your land. That's what he said in Leviticus 26:40. So there is this, he's calling them to repent. Because if you repent and turn to God, he'll let you go back to your land rather than being captives here in the land of Babylon. I thought this was very interesting, the term that he used in addressing God, O Lord, the great and dreadful God. This is a side of God, perhaps, that we ought to know about, but not to be primary in our lives. I have more of a feeling of God as the Father, the loving Father, but He is a great and dreadful God as well. He's a God as a consuming fire and a one who visits the iniquities of the fathers on the children of the third and fourth generation, he says. So he is a great and dreadful God. He did not say Almighty God because God had yet not showed his signs in returning them from the land of Babylon to their own country. But then it goes on, after calling him dreadful, he then talks about him keeping covenant and mercy. I think that is the side that we like to think of. Mercy, love and mercy to those who keep his commandments. The whole thing is a reference being made to the Mosaic and land covenants, which are covenants of judgment as well as mercy. And in all of these texts, the key word is if, because it conditions all. If you will keep my covenants, my commandments, you will be blessed. If you don't, you will be cursed. And that is what is being brought out here. So over and over, Daniel said, we have sinned. They have committed iniquity and done wickedly. I cannot help but in passing, even though I know we in the United States are not a theocracy, we are not a government of God. He is not ruling over us directly as he did Israel. I still believe that righteousness exalts the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people, as it says. I cannot help but believe that as people are following in their wicked ways, the rise of homosexuality and every deviation and aberration that anybody can think of, we're doing it. And our governments and our governors and our judges and all are going along with us and condoning this. I really believe that our nation is being cursed because of this. I believe we're blessed for doing good and being cursed for doing evil. That was what happened to Israel. Righteousness exalteth a nation. Sin is reproached to any people. And righteousness belongs to God. That seventh verse is very rich. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee. Unto us confusion of faces as to this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel that are near and they're far off through all the countries where you have driven them. In the book of Romans, the third chapter, Paul said, God, you're righteous in taking good judgment. I mean, it's your right. You have to judge. You have to punish sin. You can't be righteous if you don't punish sin. And so that's why he's doing it. He said, you're justified when you judge. So the thing is that Daniel here, and as a representative of the people, and I'll remind you again, Daniel is one of the few people in the Bible that it does not say anything bad about. Just think about that. That's one thing I'm thankful that God pictures our saints and our early people as they really were, because if they were all perfect, I'd say, well, no room for me. But there's nothing mentions bad about him. In fact, the prophet said if Noah, Daniel, and Job were in this generation, they could save none but themselves. So he's among the three as he could think of as the most righteous. So the thing is that he goes over and over to talk about the curses, and I'm not going to read them, but if you take time to look them up, Leviticus 26:3-13 is the blessing. 14-39 is the cursing. And 40-46, if you will confess your sins, he will bless. Deuteronomy 27:15 on. Deuteronomy 28:15 on. Deuteronomy 29:20 on. Deuteronomy 30:17 on. It's talking about the curses. Deuteronomy 31:17. Deuteronomy 32:19 on. Are talking why Israel is cursed. The 32nd chapter is the Song of Moses. I've talked about it a good many times, and it's a key text having to do with prophecy in Israel, about all the way from God choosing Israel and why he chose her, how he blessed her, uplifted her, and how she soon turned away from him to serve other gods. And why God is doing what he did. The 21st verse, you provoked me to jealousy with a no God. I'm going to provoke you to jealousy with a no people. So he turned to the Gentiles. And so then it goes on. And I thought of Daniel and I thought of Moses when he was saying all the things that were going to happen to Israel because of her hardness of heart. And this is Moses. Deuteronomy 32:29. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. I wish I could say to Israel today, Israel, go back to Moses, go back to the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy, and realize that you are making covenants of apostasy with the people about you, and God doesn't like that. And you're going to be punished. And the same blessing, cursing, is still going on. We would like to have them go along with Daniel in the 17th and 19th verses. Oh Lord, hear. Oh Lord, hear. Bless, bless, bless. But I'm sorry that though I'm pro-Israel, though I'm a Zionist, I realize that the majority in the nation of Israel today are not religious or believing Jews. And it's a secular state, and they're really not serving him as they should. He caused them to be returned to the land and helped rebuild the waste places under Ezra and Nehemiah. But the Bible, especially Deuteronomy again, talks about the end time when there will be final deliverance, when he delivers them from all the nations of the earth and brings them into the land, restores them to the land, restores the land under them. And one of the most key of all the restorations is when they are restored to God. In fact, that is mentioned briefly in this 32nd of Deuteronomy. The Lord will judge his people. But then he repents himself for his servants when he sees that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left. In other words, when Israel looks up, God will bless them ultimately. And as they are restored to God, as they should, God will then judge the oppressors, the Jew haters, the haters of Israel. And he does it all for his name's sake. In fact, if you notice that in Daniel, he kept saying over, he said, God, it's not that we deserve it. It's not that we're good, but it's your name. Your name's on this city. Your name is on these people. God, bless this for your sake. And that's what's going to be the end. That, in fact, that 83rd Psalm that talks about the confederacy against Israel in the end time, the very last verse of that psalm says that your name will be exalted among the nations. And that is the ultimate in all of this. We look forward to national prosperity. We look forward to the kingdom of God. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the true peace of Jerusalem, when they will dwell safely through the help and blessing of God, and that all the nations of the earth and ourselves will be blessed along with them. O God, we do pray that you would hear. We pray, O God, that you would forgive. We pray, O God, that you would hear our confessions, that you would bless us for what we know we should do and how we should serve.